All right, but this time you found the scripture in 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in the first verse. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the doctor, the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" Somebody said to your neighbor, "What do you have in your house?" And she said, "Your main servant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." There's going to be much more into this. There's going to be other scriptures, but I'm going to stop right here. Let's stand up one more time if you can. And let's make this prophetic declaration. You know, say this with me. Say, "Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. I boldly declare that I believe in the supernatural. I believe in miracles. This evening, Lord, I ask you to give me eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to receive, a will to obey, and faith to act. In the name of Jesus, I take my position in Christ. And I take authority over every spirit that does not confess the name of Jesus. I command them to leave this place. And I declare that this place is an open heaven. The Spirit of God is free to move. The angels of God are ascending and descending. They're going to and fro to execute the commands of God's word. Preach, Holy Spirit. Teach, Holy Spirit. Prophesy, Holy Spirit. Heal the sick, God. Do what only you can do. And take all the glory. In the matchless name of Jesus." Can you bend with a shout and say amen? Before you sit down, tell the person next to you, "I'm a carrier of the oil. I may not look like it, but I'm a carrier. I carry the glory. I carry the power." Amen. Tell somebody else, "There's oil in the house." Tell somebody else, "The anointing breaks the yoke." Tell somebody else, "It's not by power, it's not by might, not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord." I'm anointed. Say, "I'm anointed." All right, sit down, sit down. You're doing good, you're doing good. Hallelujah. I continue my teachings on revival. So we lay enough foundation to go deeper. You know, if you miss any of the messages, you should go back. But I'm moving the conversation forward. I'm going to take it a little bit further now. I've been teaching from my book, Do It Again. It's sold out. But if you want to order, if you didn't get a chance to order, you can order it on our website, www.guiph.com. It's a lot of the concept that I'm talking about, you know, from the message, so from the teachings on revival. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You and I are dealing with a generation that is up for grab because they are struggling for relevance and significance. The optimism and idealism of their youth has been robbed from them because of a world that has been contingently predicted to be fatal and futile. Everywhere they go, everywhere they look, someone tells them there's something wrong with them. The future looks bleak to them. The leaders have become corrupt. The world is full of deficit. So a generation that is supposed to look at a future and found themselves confident and happy, found themselves struggling with relevance and significance. And it is because of this very vacuum of influence, this vacuum of value, that this generation is up for grabs and available for influence. So political campaign understand it. They try to influence their vote. College recruitment program understand it. And they're trying to shape their mind. Hello? Everyone is trying to influence this generation. But God's preferred methods of delivery for his message of love for the human family is not politics, it's not Hollywood, it's not a college educational program, it's not the post office, it's not FedEx, it's the Church of the Living God. Well, I wonder if Mr. Amen had left the building. Some people come to church to pontificate. Some people come to church to speculate. Some people come to church to spectate. But God is looking for some people that will come to participate. And if Mr. Amen and Mr. Glory and Mr. Hallelujah are not present in the meeting, there will be no revival. Can you say amen with fire tonight? Can you say glory with fire tonight? God's preferred methods of delivery for his message of love to the human family, it's not going to be any other organization. It is the Church of the Living God. And the church is a primary avenue by which the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to matriculate from heaven into the community. So we have a very significant role to play. So Isaiah 55 says, the watchmen on the wall shall lift up their voice. One translation said, a clear voice. We are called to be watchmen on the wall. We are called to lift up a clear voice. Hello? And sometimes the problem with us as a church is that we are answering questions that nobody is asking. So a generation feels like our message is irrelevant to their needs and to their questions. Hello? So a lot of this generation feel like they've inherited the world after a bad party. And there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of cleanup to do. And they're searching for answer. But I want you to understand that the church has not been left here as a liability to our community. We are an asset to our community. So in Mark chapter 11, Jesus is speaking to the disciple. He says, you go to a crossroad and you find two donkeys, one that came out of the other, one that has carried the burden of his days and experience, and one that no one has ever ridden upon. But he said, the one that no one has ever ridden upon, this is the one I want you to lose and bring it to me. If anyone asks you why you're doing what you're doing, you let them know the Lord has a need of it. Loose it and bring it to me. I believe that the two donkeys represent a prophetic pictures of two generations. We're standing at a crossroad of a generational shift. There's one generation that carried the burden of his days. I thank God for people like Kenneth E. Hagin, known as Daddy Hagin. Thank you for your support. Pastor Clinton in this house. Pastor Sarah in this house. And many others that have gone forward. They pioneer a generation into a move of God. They carried the burden of their days. But out of that people came two group of people. One group that is in the church that needs to be equipped to carry the mandate of God. And another group outside of the church that needs to be reached, that needs to be trained. And so we as a church, when I talk about a church, I'm talking about you and me. As a believer, we have an assignment to reach this generation. We have an assignment to be carriers of the glory. carriers of the power, carriers of the anointing, carriers of solution. We are a solution-driven church, solution-driven Christian. And God wants to put his anointing and his power on us never, like never before, because we have to reach this generation. So we cannot afford to let a generation grow without the knowledge of divine things which contain the seed of national reformation and revival. You and I are going to spend a lot of time disputing and arguing. We need to encounter the glory and carry the glory, because there are many people who need the glory but cannot encounter it for themselves. And if all we do, as many people do now, is use tricks and gimmicks to get people in a church, if we can get them with our human strength to come to church and to serve God, then something else can get them out of it. But if the power of God that we carry begin to reach people and change people, something significant is going to take place, and it's going to start to hold them into a position of serving God. The glory of God, it is that thing that, you know, when it's there, you may not know how to explain it, but everybody knows that it is there. It is the manifested presence of God. And the glory of God is released when revival comes. Oh, I started this teaching series by telling you that in the pre-dawning of revival, darkness seemed to devastate. There's a spiritual decline. There's an emotional decline, social decline. Church attendance is down. Oh, phrases like post-Christian era are used to describe the season where we are in. Darkness seems to devastate, but a champion, a carrier of oil need to resonate, and then dunamis is going to detonate, and there's going to be an outpouring, and we become carrier of the oil. But this will happen when revival, somebody shout revival, when revival takes place. In case you forgot about revival, glory be to God, what is revival? Revival is a period of uncommon supernatural visitation producing radical change in the spiritual and natural lives of believers, and salvation of the lost, usually transforming communities, cities, and nations morally, socially, and even economically. Revival is a time of uncommon visitation. It's a period where eternity becomes real. The truth of scriptures become real. Repentance really lasts. People are really changed. Radical conversions take place. I wonder if Mr. Amen is in the building. And people will live casual lives, come into a state of profound conviction. Glory be to God. Revival is a supernatural work of the Spirit of God, generating supernatural outcomes. It is a sovereign manifestation of a gracious God. The question becomes, do we have a part to play in it? Somebody shout yes. Somebody shout amen. So the text today, in this text, we have a lot of prophetic pictures and images about the outpouring. And those are the things that I want to show you today. You know, we can take the, you know, we see a house, we see someone that has a need, we see them obeying, yielding to a word, and we see an outpouring of oil, and vessels are being filled. And so there's a lot of prophetic type and shadows about revival. So I want to look at this right now. What is an outpouring? An outpouring, by definition, it is something that streams out rapidly. The act of pouring out, an outpouring of emotion, something that pour out, something that is pour out, an outflow, the flow. When we talk about an outpouring of the Spirit, it simply means that there's the Spirit of God is moving supernaturally. There's an overflow. And I believe that God wants to release an outpouring in Nanuet, New York, like never before. And I believe that the redeemed, come on, love,
church is going to be an epicenter of it. And I believe that many people in this place are going to be carrier of the oil, that their vessel is going to be filled with the power and the glory, and they're going to go out. We can see it throughout scripture in both and in the Old and the New Testament. We see accounts of the outpouring and manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand that in every season of God's calendar, there is an emphasis of the Spirit. Glory be to God. The emphasis of that Holy Spirit include the following in the scriptures. All right. Numbers chapter 11, verse 17. John chapter 7, verse 39. Somebody said the Spirit was given. Judges chapter 3, verse 10. The Spirit came upon. Judges chapter 6, verse 34. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 6, 16 and 13. Somebody say, the Spirit took control. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. Acts chapter 10, verse 45. The Spirit pour out. Somebody say, the Spirit pour out. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. John chapter 1, verse 33. Somebody say, the Spirit came down. Oh, yeah. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Acts chapter 11, verse 15. Somebody shout, the Spirit fell. One translation said, the Spirit came down. Acts chapter 8, verse 15, 17. Acts 19 and 2. Somebody said, the Spirit receive. Luke chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 1, verse 33. Somebody say, baptize in. Or baptized with the Holy Spirit. So these are the different emphases of the outpouring. It is our basis to believe God for an outpouring. How many of you know that if He did it before, He can do it again? I said, if He did it before, He can do it again. Your situation may have changed. The problem may have changed. But it's the same God that moved then, that moves now. It's the same God that healed then, that heals now. It's the same God that saved then, that saves now. It's the same God that delivered then, that delivers now. It's the same God that sent revival in New York more than 100 years ago that will do it again. Oh, if He did it before, He can do it again. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I dare you to shout, do it again. Shout, do it again. Do it in Nanuet, New York. Do it in New York City. Do it in Connecticut. Do it in Washington, D.C. Do it in Pennsylvania. Do it from the East Coast to the West Coast. Do it from the North to the South. We are here to proclaim the release of the Spirit of God. We declare that the Spirit has been given, that the Spirit will come upon, the Spirit will take control, the Spirit will pour out, the Spirit will come down, the Spirit will fall, the Spirit will be received. There will be a baptism of fire, a baptism of power, a move of God that will stir the atmosphere with a great force. We see salvation. We see miracles. We see church growth. We see drug addict getting saved. And you will receive an impartation, and you will be a carrier of His glory. Come on, somebody. Shout glory three times. Shout, the rain is coming. The flood is coming. Oh, yes. Joel chapter 2, verse 10 to 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for He had given you the former rain moderately, and He will cause, come on, to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Come on, somebody. Yes, in my revival, I document the past move of God. We thank God for the former rain. But the scripture said, the latter rain shall be greater than the former rain. In December, I visited Smith Wigglesworth's church, and his great-granddaughter prayed for me after the service. She told me, she said, God told us that you were coming. We are supposed to lay hands on you, but not only we're supposed to lay hands on you, you are supposed to lay hands on us. And she said, she began to prophesy. She said, there's an outpouring that is coming. Smith Wigglesworth, my great-grandfather, great-grandfather prophesied that 70 years from now, there will be an outpouring on the earth. She said, we are stepping into that season. She said, there's an outpouring that is coming. And she said, God told us, you are going to be one of the captain in that outpouring. They lay hands on me, and I fell down. There was a wind that came in the room. Not only knocked me down, but knocked everybody else's down. I'm telling you, there's an outpouring of the Spirit of God that is coming, and you are going to be part of it. And there's a lot of rain that is coming. You are going to be a carrier. Shout, I'm a carrier. Here's the problem. We heard about the promise. We pray about the promise. We talk about the promise. But many of us have the wrong paradigm about this outpouring. Because in our head, we're thinking about this gigantic picture that is going to pour from the sky. Hello? But, you know, we've been looking at it for so long. We're looking in the wrong direction. Hello? Because the pictures God is going to use to pour out his power is not there. It is right here on earth. Jesus explained it this way. He that believe on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly, John 7:38, shall flow rivers of living water. I'm here to tell you that the Holy Spirit within us will be the source of all the signs and the wonders and the miracle. I'm here to say to you that God responds to the faithful, to the hungry. The level of your hunger will determine the level of your visitation. He said he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. How many of you have flesh? Well, if you have flesh, you are the target of God's outpouring. Somebody say, I am a carrier. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessel that the excellency of the power may be of God. Somebody say, may be of God and not of us. Say it again. May be of God and not of us. The Passion Translation said this, we are like common clay jars that carry his glorious treasure within so that the extraordinary overflow, somebody shout overflow, overflow of power will be seen as God, not ours. Who is we? That is you if you are saved. Somebody shout, I'm a carrier. That is you if you are the body of Christ. Somebody shout, I'm a carrier. So this applies to the children of God, not to the world, not to those in the world, not to those who are outside of the family of God. This is written to the church. So when we move and operate in earth, when there is this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it's not us doing it. It is God through us. It is what is in us. It is who we are carrying. It is what we are carrying. Somebody shout, I'm a carrier of God's glory. We are these common vessels of clay that are supposed to do extraordinary work or an overflow power on the earth that demonstrate that God is working through us and not ourselves. Listen, in biblical accounts of revival in the Old Testament, each one began in the heart of the consecrated servant of God who became the energizing power behind it, a carrier. Somebody shout, I'm a carrier. The carrier is the individual catalyst which champion and embodies the revelation before it goes mainstream. This person connects with the concept of revival to the people and represent a walking website of what heaven wants to release on the earth. And that catalyst becomes super infector, who causes the move of God in its infancy stage to be epidemic. And God will make it eventually epic as we yield to the Spirit. We just have gone through a few years of a pandemic. Is that interested? Supposedly, it started somewhere in the world. Someone was infected, and they became a carrier of a virus. And that virus got on airplanes, and within a short period of time, there was a contagion. Hello? It went all over the world to the extent we start to use new concepts we never used before. Testing. They want to test you. And I was in England in December. My family was not there because of the stringent restrictions. I drove from Belgium through France to the UK. And when I got there, I had to be quarantined in a hotel for 10 days. I got a phone call from the NHS, whatever their name is. Mr. Payne, do you realize that if you do not follow these restrictions, orders, and rules, we are going to find you? Are you aware that there are contact tracers coming to your hotel to make sure you're staying in your hotel? Hello? I had to stay locked in. I got tested before I got there, and I was negative. I got tested. I had something called a day two test. As if the test that you had before didn't count. Then they have day 5 test, day 8 test, release test. I've been tested more than you want to know. You might go ahead and just call me guinea pigs while we're at it. And I don't even care. Hello? And the interesting thing is that every time I was tested, my wife kept calling, "Hey, babe, are you negative?" And when I say yes, she got all excited about being negative. I have never seen a time where people are so excited about being negative. I came to the conclusion that a negative is the new positive. But if you really want to take it with the lens of the kingdom of God in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, come on, all things work together for the good to those who are called by God, so you can see that God can change your negative into a positive. So the reason why they're so frantic about controlling your movement and testing you is because you can be a carrier. You can carry the virus. And the implication of carrying the virus means that you can pass it on to somebody else. And so they have contact tracers. If you test positive, they want to know whoever you got in contact with. Because if you got in contact with somebody, they might as well carry the virus. So they came up with rules. If you test positive, everybody has to quarantine because you've been exposed to the virus and you are dangerous to the public. Hello? Listen. Going viral is a phrase that has gone viral. The implication, come on, those of you addicted to like, you post something on Facebook, on Instagram, like. If they don't like it, you get upset. Listen, you're not defined by the likes of many, but you're defined by the love of the one who loves you the most. But going viral is a term that has gone viral. But the implication of going viral simply means that something is being passed among people like a plague. And it has to be airborne. Hello? And this, you understand the mechanic of this with the virus. But I'm going to transpose this with revival. Come on, somebody. Yeah, you want to test negative for COVID-19, but you want to test positive for the glory of God. Come on, somebody. Oh, I pray that you test positive for the glory of God after this meeting. I believe that God is pouring his spirit in this church, in this region, and you're going to test positive for the glory of God. As you leave this place, you're not living the same way you came in. You're going to be a carrier. And as you go out, you carry the fire with you. You carry the power with you. And the people you come in contact with, they're going to be infected by the power of God. And if they have some Holy Ghost, come on, contact Tracer, and they say, what happened? Well, I went to the Redeemed Church. Something happened down there. They got some big black man preaching, and the glory of God came down on me. That's how I got healed. That's how I got delivered. That's how my husband got saved. That's how my children got delivered. I took it home with me. The power of God fell on my kids and on my grandkids, and now there's a change because of the glory of God. Come on, somebody. Shout, I'm a carrier. Oh, yes. Shout glory 3 times. So, in our text today, this is where I'm landing in our text. We have a woman, and her husband died and left her in a credibility gap. Hello? And Elijah is a prophet. The man of God died. She's in the house. The house in the scripture also represents the church. Genesis 28, Jacob speaking. This is none other than the house of God. It is the gates of heaven. The house of God is the gates of heaven. So the move of God is that the man of God died. Hello? And Elijah is a prophet. He's a representation of the voice of the Lord. So this woman does something. She goes to hear the word of the Lord. She has a need and she goes to the Lord. Her husband was a prophet. The implication was that he was around the same circle of Elijah. He says, you know that my servant, my husband, feared the Lord. Elijah knew him personally, probably knew how much he loved God. He was in debt. And let me tell you something, debt can be a dangerous thing. That's one thing for you to be in debt, and they come and repo your car and foreclose your home. If you've ever been there, it's not a fun thing. But it's a whole different ball game when the creditor said, you know what? I'm going to take your kids. Hello? Somebody say a stressful situation. The point I want to make here is that she had within her house the voice of the Lord, because her prophet, her husband, was a prophet. So when the voice left, when there was a situation, she went to hear what God has to say. So darkness devastated. The major voice of God in the house died. A champion resonated. The widow of the prophet had to go where God was speaking. And she saw what God was saying. And I want you to understand, this is how it works. When there's a major need, when we're believing God for an outpouring, the outpouring is going to take place in the context of the house. Hello? And the outpouring is going to take place in our response to the word. There was a major need. She didn't say, well, if God's going to provide, let him provide. No, no, no. She started to seek to hear the voice of the Lord. And right now, this is what we need in America. We don't need a lot of political posturing, and whether you're a donkey or an elephant, we need to pray and seek the face of God and hear what the Lord has to say for this season, for America, for this church, for this region. Now, I want you to focus on the word house. House. Somebody say house. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I'm delaying coming, you already have this instruction on how to conduct the affairs of the church of the living God, his very household, the supporting pillar and firm foundation of truth. King James Version said, if I tarry long, you may know how to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. So we understand that the house represents the church. Amen. And then, what do you have in the house? The prophet asked. She said, I have a jar with a little bit of oil. Somebody said, there's oil in the house. You're not saying anything now. There's oil in the house. Are you seeing the pattern? So there was a deficit. There was a problem in the house. She went to hear the voice of the Lord. And what was the voice of the Lord? What do you have in your house? Well, there's oil in the house. And what is oil in the Bible? What does oil represent? Somebody said the Holy Spirit. So what the man of God was saying, the way this situation is going to be solved, it's not about coming up with a political strategy. Nothing wrong with that. It's not about starting certain things. But you need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that the Lord is going to use to bring you to the place where you're going to experience the outpouring. I'm here to tell you today that we need to learn to work with the Holy Spirit. I wonder if Mr. Amen is still in the building. I said, we need to learn to work with the Holy Spirit. Well, maybe I need a different spirit. No. We do not need an upgraded Holy Spirit. Hello? We need to yield our lives to the one who already lives within us. Come on, somebody. Oh, the source of power and effectiveness of the early church was the person of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do will go on and no one will notice the difference. If the Holy Spirit has been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did will stop. And everybody will have known the difference. This is a quote by A.W. Tozer. Even with everything that we have access to in our contemporary world, we have to make sure that we don't organize the Holy Spirit outside of our lives, outside of our churches. We need to make sure that we open up. He said, what do you have in your house? She said, I got a vessel with a little bit of oil. Come on, somebody. I want you to understand that God did not leave us here as if we are people that are left without resources. It was not like, well, Elijah got a great ministry, Paul had a great ministry, Timothy had a great ministry, Peter had a great ministry, but look at the redeemed love. I don't know, my gosh, what I'm going to do. Pastor Clinton is not here. Pastor Sarah is getting up there in the age. What are they going to do? No. When God looks at you, he said, there's oil in the house. Come on, somebody. There's oil in the house. It may not be like in other houses, but there's oil in the house. The Holy Spirit is here in the house. We have to listen to the voice of the Lord, and as we allow him to lead us, there's going to be an outpouring. Listen, we don't need another Holy Spirit. We need to yield our lives to the one God has already sent to us. Listen, the Holy Spirit is not a force, is not a thing, it is a person. Hello? Listen, the Holy Spirit has attributes. The Holy Spirit has an intellect. 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit has knowledge. 1 Corinthians 2, 11. For what man knows the things of man, except the Spirit of man, which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God, except the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has emotion. Emotions. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. And do not grieve. Do not make sad or sorrowful. The Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit has his own will, and he makes decisions. Acts chapter 16 verse 6. Now when they had gone through Persia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. The Holy Spirit loves. Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Now I beg you, brethren, to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. The Holy Spirit speaks as a person. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called." Hallelujah. They are warning about the Holy Spirit. The scripture warns us to honor the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Do not resist, oppose, and fight against the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve and make sad the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Do not quench or extinguish the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19. Do not lie to the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 5, verse 3. Do not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Hello? So the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit has an intellect. The Holy Spirit has knowledge. The Holy Spirit has emotion. The Holy Spirit has his own will. The Holy Spirit loves. The Holy Spirit speaks as a person. And I'm here to tell you, he is the one. He is the leader in every God-sent revival. He is a tour guide. He was there on Pentecost. Hey, he was there in the Azusa streets. He was here in New York during the revival that started with a man by the name of Jeremiah Lanphier in New York City, when he started with a prayer meeting with 12 people, and it sprouted into a major revival. Over a million people got saved. He was there in the Welsh revival. He was there in Australia. He was there in the 50s and the 40s during the Voice of Healing. And I'm here to tell you that he is here right now, and he's a leader of every God-sent revival. There's oil in this house. There's oil. Oh, you may not have a lot of vessels. What is that you have in your house? I have a jar with a little bit of oil, but that is enough to trigger an outpouring of revival. Come on, somebody. So if this is true, why don't we see people experiencing the outpouring? Hello? I built a lot of foundation. I'm taking this a little bit further. There are primarily two reasons why people do not experience the move of God. Even though it's God's will to release his outpouring. Number one, failure to believe that the Spirit of God is moving. Hello? Failure to believe. For some people, they think, we're just going to have, three fast songs and do slow songs and sermonette for Christianette, go home and smoke cigarette while they're surfing the net and drinking a Diet Coke. If you're still smoking, please don't raise your hand. This is not an altar call. In some churches, they handcuff the Holy Spirit. Hello? They don't believe that the Holy Spirit is still moving. So failure to believe that the Spirit is moving. Number two, failure to yield when he moves. Hello? I like the team here. I like the team here. Why? Because when the river starts to get trouble, they give me permission to come up and flow. Hello? Failure to yield when he moves. So the problem is not that God doesn't want to bless you or you to experience revival. Sometimes people don't believe that the Spirit of God is moving. Other times people fail to yield. Hello? But the Spirit of God, you just have a talk. The word of knowledge. I have a good teaching there. My book, You Too Can Be Used by God. I talk extensively about the nine gifts of the Spirit. My secret in flowing the supernatural are in that book. I tell people sometimes the Holy Spirit sometimes is so gentle. You have to yield. Sometimes he will pass through your thought lives. Suddenly you wake up in the morning, you start to think about your son. Hello? Have you ever occurred to you that God is telling you to pray for him? Or a co-worker or somebody. Failure to yield. You feel this river in worship. In most churches, they'll try to wind the music down. Let's go on to the announcement. Hello? But every time God is trying to give us a hallelujah, it's a basketball terminology.
where somebody throw it around the rim and you jump and you take it and dunk it. Hello? So many times God is trying to set us up, but we are not recognizing the moment. Hello? We're not recognizing. So failure, number one, to believe that there's a move of God. Secondly, failure to yield. The question becomes, how do you yield? Somebody said, slow down, stop, and give the right of way. Hello? What do you do when you come to a stop sign? You stop. You slow down. You stop. It's the same way. We have to allow divine interruptions. Let the Lord interrupt your schedule. Let the Lord interrupt your routines. Many of us are living on cruise control. Get up, brush your teeth, eat your breakfast, dress, dress. Makeup on, make it on, get in the car, drive, 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 go to work, yeah, work, 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 get back in the car, go home, cook, 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 pick up the kids, pick up the kids. Oh, honey, what was your day? How was the day? Same thing tomorrow. Hello? I'm telling you, don't live your life on cruise control. I'm not saying you should be abdicating your responsibility, but develop a sensitivity. Sometimes be hesitant. I know you're really, really smart. More than me. Hello? But listen, develop a habit of being hesitant. Hello? I call this principle divine hesitation. When I minister, when I'm about to preach, when I'm praying, I slow down. I let it marinate and see if the Lord will want to say something. If the Lord wants to do something. I was driving with my wife in Orlando, Florida. And suddenly I felt this utterance coming in my spirit. And I released it. Hello? It came so strong. And then I heard a translation. Slow down. Hello? It was not like there was traffic. It wasn't like there was cars coming behind us. But I just had this tongue and I pushed on the brake. And slow down as we were coming to the stop sign. And I watched as a car was coming from the other side, going fast, running the stop sign. And this other car coming this way that were there before them. And that car, hate that car. And that car came. If I had not slowed down, we would be on a head collision. Hello? It's just things like that. Somebody say, slow down, stop, yield. Hello? Give God the right of way. So here's the thing. Let me bring this into focus now. So she comes to the prophet. She's in the house. Darkness devastated. Her husband is dead. So the word of the Lord was, what do you have in your house? She said, I have a jar with a little oil. Hello? In the natural, it seems to be as if it was not enough, but it was enough to begin the move of the Spirit, to begin the outpouring. And here's what he said. Go outside and borrow vessels, even empty vessels. What does that mean? That means that every vessel was not empty. Go out and borrow vessels, even empty vessels. That means that some vessel already had some oil in it. I know some religious people listen to me. Well, I know about the Holy Spirit for the last 25 years. I don't need some passionate big black man to tell me about the Holy Spirit. I heard it all. Go out and borrow even empty vessels. Vessel. So some vessel already had some oil, but they receive more oil. When you understand the power of impartation, Elisha said to Elijah, oh, I want to have a double portion, twice as much of what you have. Elijah said to Elisha, you've asked
for a hard thing. But if you see me go up, oh, you can have what you ask for. So in other words, listen, there are levels of anointing. Hello? And every church is the same. No. Every preacher is the same. No. You don't do that with your cars, right? Well, this is a Prius. It's just as good as a Tahoe and a Yukon. You do that with your cars? There's a difference between a V8 and a V6. Hello? Power has dimensions like money has denomination. A dimension is the height, is the width of a thing. Hello? Ladies, in Europe, we have a 500 euro bill. We have a 100 bill, a 100 euro bill, and a 50 euro bill. If I gave you the opportunity, which is 500 bill is the equivalent of like $600. If I gave you the opportunity to choose between a 10, a 20, or 500, and we're going to drop you in the mall, what you going to say?
When I'm very spiritual, I'm going to take the 10.
We're going to have an altar call and pray for a spirit of lying. Hello? The 500. All of them are money. What is the difference? You have more purchasing power. Hello? And I'm telling you, the proof of the anointing is not about in talking. It's not in shouting. It's in results. Hello? Act 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and with power. We went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. The purpose of the yoke is that whoever controls the yoke controls the circumstances. Oh, these farmers are not as powerful as the oxen, but they yoke the oxen together to control the power of the yoke, the strength of the oxen, the direction of the oxen, the purpose of the oxen. That's how the devil works. He puts yokes of addiction, yoke of sickness on people, yokes of oppression, yokes of addiction. People that are bound, they want to get out of it, but they can't because there's such a strong grip on their lives. They weep in church and go back home and do the same thing. But the Bible says in Isaiah 10:25, the anointing, shout the anointing. The anointing, breaks the yoke of bondage, every yoke of addiction, every yoke of sickness, every yoke of anger, every yoke of depression, the antidote to sickness, to demonic oppression, to sickness, it is the anointing of God. And if someone is really anointed, when they pray, miracles will happen. Come on, somebody. So don't tell me that every church is the same, every preacher is the same. No. Hello? So that means what? If what you have is not working, you can get more. Go out and borrow vessels, even empty vessels. Elijah said to Elijah, if you can see me going up. In other words, you got to be comfortable seeing some people go up. That's the problem for the haters now. Hello? Because you start to get mad at somebody else that seems to be ahead of you. You think that somehow they stole your blessing to get there. You said I should have been you. I should have gotten that husband, not you. I should have gotten that wife and not you. I should have gotten that position and not you. And you mess yourself up. Hello? Celebrating other people's success will clear your mind from the dysfunction that make other people the target of your own frustration. Instead of hating, you're mad at somebody else that is successful because you are mad at your own failure. But if you start to celebrate their success, what is on them will start to fall on you. Hey, if you're close enough to know that somebody is going up, the anointing is in the neighborhood. Come on. If you're close enough to a situation to know that somebody is getting blessed, the blessing is in the neighborhood. If you're close enough to know that somebody got a door that is opening, come on, there's favor in the neighborhood. There's favor in the neighborhood. Blessings in the neighborhood. Open door in the neighborhood. If I keep my attitude right, whatever it's on them, it's going to fall on me. I may have a little oil, but I'm ready for more. Ah, and I'm going to celebrate them as they go up, and I'm going to catch the mantle for a double portion. Come on, somebody. Somebody look up. If you see me, go up. If you see me, go up. And listen to this. The last miracle that Elijah performed was the opening of the water. The first miracle that Elisha performed, when he saw him go up, he picked up the mantle and said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" Hey, he had a little bit of oil before, but now he got more. Where is the oil? Where is the God of Elijah? And struck the water. In other words, Elijah's ceiling became his floor. He started where he finished because he kept his attitude right. The little oil that he had became double because of the outpouring. I don't know who I'm preaching to. God said, if you keep your attitude right, the anointing that was on Pastor Clinton, come on, the anointing that was on Pastor Sarah, hey, it's coming on you, come on. And if you keep your attitude right, the latter days of this church shall be greater than the former days of this church. The latter reign of the Holy Spirit shall be greater than the former reign. God is going to release his outpouring in this house. There might be a little oil, but there's more oil coming. There's more power coming. There's more glory coming. There's more revival coming. There are more miracles. Shout glory three times. Shout glory three times. Hello? But listen to the instruction. When she yielded, he said, go out and borrow vessels. Go out everywhere. So in other words, this church is not supposed to be a nice little community of friends. I scratch my back, you scratch mine. None you for the last 40 years. We are BMF. We are best friends. It's not supposed to be a little community of people that love each other. This thing has got to grow. I said this thing has got to grow. But how is it going to grow? Go outside and borrow vessels. Bring in vessels. Go in the highways and the byway. Come on, invite people to church. Evangelize. Go out and bring out vessels. Bring vessels out here. But I want you to notice something. The oil had no effect on the vessels that were outside of the house. He didn't say, take the oil and go pour it into the vessels out. Hello? The oil had no impact on the vessels outside of the house. But when the vessels were brought in, because there was oil in the house and the outpouring was taking place in the house. I know one of the things that the devil has done with COVID-19 is create alienation and isolation. One third of all people have stopped going to church because of a spirit of fear. It used to be that they would watch online, but now they don't even watch. No pun intended. If you're watching online, keep watching. But it's not the same thing. Hello? And I understand that I have my own program online every week on Facebook. It's Miracle Time. I understand that we do those things, but it's not the same as being in the house.
And people say, well, you know, I got the Holy Spirit. I am saved. I'm sanctified. I read my Bible. I'm not saying that doing those things at home, you know, are not important. But I'm telling you, that does not replace being in the church, having a pastor. Because you are not your own prophet. You're not your own pastor. You're not your own evangelist. And, you know, I love the microwave because I live in hotels. Since the beginning of this year, I stayed in my house for more than 3 days, only once, this last week. Been traveling. That's what I do. I travel. So I love the microwave. Whoever invented the microwave, God bless you. Thank you for your support. That's how I do a lot of eating with the microwave. Thank you for your support. Hello? And listen, the microwave is the metaphor of the mentality of this generation. Because it speeds up the process. Hello? And so today, we have a lot of, you know, with this technology, we have a lot of microwave ministries. Thank you for your support. Microwave ministers. Instagram prophets. YouTube prophets. Apostle, brother, wonderful. Archbishop, third. And whatever you want to throw in there. Well, I got a prophetic word from a YouTube prophet.
So-and-so is my prophet. Do you know him? Do you know where it comes from? Who is he under? Hello? So we have microwave prophet with microwave ministries promising microwave blessings to microwave Christians. But let me tell you something. You cannot microwave character. Hello? And I'm here to say to you, it's important to be in the house. The oil had no impact on vessels outside of the house. There's something about coming into the house. Hey, when you get the vessels got in the house, the oil was flowing. And listen to what he says. Once all the vessels were brought in, he said, shut the door. You know that old song? Shut the door, keep out the devil. Shut the door, keep the devil in the night. You know that song? Shut the door. The door had to be shut. In other words, close the door. Now God has started to move. When the service starts in this church, you know, if you're late, the Holy Spirit is not going to wait for you. Hello? When the worship starts to play, the oil is already flowing. Hello? And those that are in the house, they're getting blessed. Come on, somebody. Oh, when the worship is playing, the oil is flowing. When the preaching starts, the oil is flowing. And so if you're in the parking lot, you're not getting anything. If you're still home, you're not getting anything. But when you get in the house as a vessel, every vessel that was in the house received an outpouring of the oil. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Here's what I want you to see now. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. Look at some of the characteristics of oil. Oil lubricates. It causes things to fit together easily. They slide into place without resistance. When you get the oil of the Holy Ghost, you don't get resistance of an assignment or serving somewhere in the church. Hello? Or doing something. You slide right into place. Somebody say, I'm a carrier of the oil. You function well. It is good. It is easy. It's not laborious. It is not hard. It's like an oil well machine. The anointing makes things look easier. I'm telling you, being on the road, going to some churches, I'm telling you to preach in some places, no pun intended. It is so hard. You have to take people with you before you move in the gifts. But when you're in a place where you have good worship, good anointing, it's like wings in your back and you easily flow in the spirit. Why? The oil makes things easy. The anointing makes things easy. Hallelujah. Listen, oil keeps things from becoming fatigued and wear out. Some cars break down because they don't put the oil in. So as we travel a lot, usually rent, like we have these cars, you know, a transportation company that take us to the airport. And we travel with a lot of bags. And if you saw me coming to New York, you ask me if I'm moving in. I mean, six bags and all of that. I always have to rent these big SUVs. And so this guy came to our house. He had this huge SUV, an ESPN black, beautiful Cadillac Escalade, you know, my kind of car. And so he came and I said, man, you got a beautiful car. I have a car just like that. He's like, oh, yeah. I said, man, this is awesome. He said, you don't know. I just put a brand new engine in this car. I said, what happened? He said, well, the car kept telling me to change the oil. It went down 30%, 20%. I said, yeah, I can just drive this thing. This is a big car. There's no issues. Guess what? The engine broke down. And he had to spend $50,000 just because he refused to change the oil. Hello? Listen. When there is no oil in the car, it creates heat. It will create friction. It starts to wear out the different parts. The part will start to cut each other. It will start to heat up and overheat heat. And things are not going to function properly because there's no oil. Listen, if you don't have the oil, I don't care if you're in the right place with the right people, friction will manifest. Then all of a sudden, you start to rub each other wrong. Offenses become easy. Unforgiveness is very simple. Why? Because some of us have not allowed our vessel to come into the house of the Lord and get filled up with oil. Isn't that interesting, some of the things that we get mad about and leave the church? Well, the pastor didn't say hello to me. Somebody took my seat. They didn't let me sing my special song. They did not recognize my gift. Isn't that interesting when we get to the marriage supper of the Lamb? You're sitting there. Moses is there. Abraham is there. There are all kinds of Christians. And you're sitting next to this little girl. Hey, what's your testimony, sweetie? She said, oh, yeah, my daddy, he was like fed to the lions because he refused to deny Christ. And they told me if I didn't do the same thing, they're going to put me in the lion's den too. And that's how I was killed. That's my testimony. And she turns around and tells you, what's your testimony? Well, I went to that church in New York. Somebody took my seat. They changed the color of the carpet. They never even asked me. They didn't say hello to me. I made eye contact with a pastor, and he went by and passed me. He didn't even see me. I said, oh, Lordy, Lord. When are they ever going to recognize that this is a special package they have here? Please don't raise your hand. This ain't an altar call. Hello? Petty stuff. I mean, I studied revival. I was so shocked. Do you realize some of the things that killed the Azusa revival? Petty stuff. William Seymour, a black preacher with one eye that can see more than all the preachers with two eyes. He was used by God, and people thought they could do a better job. He believed sanctification was at salvation. There was another guy there, William, whatever his name was. He preached something else when William Seymour was out of town. Hello? Division. So when he came back, there was confusion. So William Seymour asked him to get out, you know, lock him out of the church. He started his own church next to the mission, competition, and he fell. Church split. Have you ever heard that somewhere? How many people cannot work together because they have their own agenda and want to push their own things instead of building the kingdom of God? They were fighting over things like, shall we build a storm shelter? Because the Azusa took place right after the great earthquake in San Francisco. So people were nervous. Should we build a health shelter? Some people said, well, that's a lack of faith. You can't do that. If you really, really believe God, you should be standing in faith. Like you have Christians today, well, you shouldn't be going to the doctors because that's a lack of faith. Hello? Listen, I'm not saying that, you know, you shouldn't exercise your faith. But I'm telling you, a doctor can actually help you learn how to apply your faith. Thank you for your support. Here's the thing. They were fighting over stuff like, should we wear necktie or not necktie? Thank you. You wouldn't believe it. It happened. Read the book. I document all of those things. This is another thing they were fighting about. So William Seymour, you know, he saw their sister, you know what, you know, he wanted to marry her. There was opposition. The Iron Field administrator said, nope, this is not the will of God. You can't get married. Jesus Christ is coming back soon. He got married, and Jesus is still not come. He has not come back yet. He got married. Hello? And guess what this lady did? She stole the mail list of the revival. 50,000 names, and ran to Oregon and started her own ministry. And that's one of the killers of the Azusa revival, because when the revival testimonies were no longer circulating, people stopped coming because they thought the revival stopped. I'm talking about 1915, 1909. It was not like today with the TV and the internet. This is what killed the Azusa revival. Hello? Petty stuff. How many of you right now are contemplating leaving this church because they brought this wild black man here that is harassing you? Hello? You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at what people get offended over. Now, I went to a country somewhere. Please don't call CPS because I wouldn't do it. But they say that children are born with brains in their butts. And that if you don't discipline them, the brain will get stuck. So you got to discipline them in order to push that brain so it can start to function. And so you have a lot of people that are children stuck in an adult body because their mama never pushed the brain up. Please don't raise your hand. This is not an altar call. And this is what's happening in church. There's so much tension, so much division, a spirit of competition. And all those things are killing the spirit of revival. Are hindering the Spirit of God from flowing. Oh, Psalm 133 says, how good and how wonderful it is for brethren to dwell in unity. Oh, there I command the blessing. It's like oil flowing from the head of the priest Aaron, the bear of the priest on the garment. God is saying there's an oil, an anointing that will fall upon the church when there's a spirit of unity. When we work together and not against each other. When we support each other. Oh, let the oil flow. Let it flow in this house. Listen, let me finish this quickly. Oil provides energy. Oil provides energy. It improved performance. It produces power. It eliminated frictions. Hello? Oil keeps things from sticking. Have you ever tried to grab a greasy pig? When you stay under the anointing, when you stay under the oil, oh, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He didn't say they would not be formed, they would not be detonated, they would not be prescribed against you. But when you stay under the anointing, come on, God will use your haters as your elevation. As they try to throw things at you, the power of God is going to sustain you. You will cast down those imaginations and hide things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. That's how you still hear after everything that you went through, because of the oil, because of the power. You may go through great problems, great challenges, great obstacles, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When the oil is flowing, the power of God is going to keep the enemy at bay. When the spirit, when the enemy will come in like a flood, the spirit will raise up a standard against it. I declare God is raising up a standard against the oppression of the devil in your finances, against the oppression of the devil in your body, against the oppression of the devil in this church. Oh, the standard is being raised because the oil is flowing. In the house, it's flowing in the pulpit, it's flowing in the singing, it's flowing in the pews, it's flowing. Shout out, Macarrier. Oh, get Get rid of the squeaking. Hello? Squeaking, squeaking. That sounds like complaining, isn't it? In Egypt, they ate what I call the food of bondage. Garlic, onions, and beans. And those three things have one thing in common. They will make you stink. Hello? And that's exactly how complaining sounds in the ears of God. The next time somebody's complaining, you just have to. Please don't raise your hand. This is not an article. Have you been eating the food of bondage? Hell, in the wilderness, they ate manna. Do you know what manna is? What is this? Have you ever had manna in your life? What is this? I've been working for this company for 15 years, and they're giving me the pink slip. What is this? Manna. It's called the food of uncertainty. Hello? God is not against you having questions, but it's what you do with your questions that matters. Come, let us reason together. In the promised land, they ate the food of what I call self-determination. God said, you're no longer in Egypt. You're in a promised land. You choose whatever you want to eat. The land you're willing to plow, that's what you're going to eat. You live whatever you want. So Egypt was a land of not enough. The wilderness was the land of just enough. The promised land was the land of more than just enough. And God took them from the land of not enough, from the land of just enough, into the land of more than just enough. His name is El Shaddai. If you let the oil flow in your life, when you, instead of complaining, you start to allow the Spirit of God to move, El Shaddai will take you from the land of not enough, from the land of just enough, into the land of more than just enough. I'm almost there. Oil provide lights. Hello? It provide lights. They used to fuel those lighthouses with oil so that the ship will not shipwreck. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is the light of God that will stop you from shipwrecking. Those who are led by the Spirit, Romans 8:14, are children of God. Amen? Oil is highly flammable. Hello? Why do you need to come to church? Because you need some fire. Hello? Now, if you sit down next to someone that is not on fire, go find yourself somebody that is on fire. Because the fire is contagious. You can't take a gas can and light it and then put another gas can not to it and not light it and expect nothing to happen. Hello? The first one would explode. And the second one would explode. Come on. Fire is contagious. I say fire is contagious. Oh my gosh. Unfortunately, in many churches, the only fire that is burning is a chicken that's cooking in the kitchen. God did not call us to a chicken ministry. He called us to a glory ministry. And I'm here to tell you, God is lighting a new fire in this church. Come on. He's changing the dignity into a demonstration, the institution into an inspiration, the religious of men into a revelation, power of God. The Spirit of God is moving. God wants to put a new fire on you. Glory. The oil is flowing. Stand up. There's miracle in the oil. Somebody shout, there's miracle in the oil. Hello? And here's what it is. This oil gave her an economic miracle. The Holy Spirit will give you an economic miracle. Hello? He said, sell the oil. Pay your debt. And live on the rest. There was an economic miracle. Save some, use some, sell some. Save some, here's a catch. Save some means, live on the rest means it was not for one day. That means that her need was met this week. And then the next week she had other need, she went back to that oil and used it again. And the following week, her needs were met. Then she came back again the following week after that. She got her need met one more time. Come on, somebody. There was a continual supply. I'm here to tell you that what God is going to do in your life in this season is going to be more than enough. Glory be to God. There's going to be oil, come on, for your finances, oil for your body, oil to raise your kids, oil to pay your mortgage, oil to open doors. Come on. There's oil in the house. And as you come into the house, there's an outpouring of a supernatural manifestation of His glory. And that oil is going to give you signs, wonders, and miracles. It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I declare it's miracle time. It's miracle time. Let the oil flow. Let the power flow. Let the miracle flow. Let the glory fall. In the name of Jesus. Here's the thing where I want to bring this home is this. So sometimes people don't receive the flow of oil because of the kind of vessel that it's coming from. Hello? Because people associate what is coming out of the vessel with the vessel. Hello? Now, you know this very well. If you go to a restaurant, we were at your restaurant the other day, food was good. You go to a restaurant and the waitress brings you a dirty glass. Ah, we're so happy to have you here. Here's a glass and it looks dirty, it's filthy. Oh, this is a nice bottle of San Pellegrino. He's like, stop. How many of you want to drink out of that? Nobody. Hello? And this is where sometimes we as Christians we miss it. Things like being born again, that's a thing, a supernatural thing that God would do. You having a born again spirit, a renewed spirit, being saved, that depends on God. But the vessel, you have to sanctify your vessel. There are vessels of honors, earthware, Tupperware, vessels of honor. You have to sanctify yourself by living a consecrated life. Because some of us, we want to witness to people and say, hey, the big black man said we should invite vessels in church. Why don't you follow me? And they're like, why should I follow you? What I see, the dysfunction I see in my life, I see in your life. Hello? I cuss, you cuss. Hello? I lie and cheat, you lie and cheat. I'm an alcoholic, addicted, you are. Why should I follow you? Hello? So I'm finishing this message by saying, we have to consecrate ourselves. If we're going to be carriers of His glory, if we're going to be carriers of His glory, we have to make sure that we, of course, I understand the concept of the indicative and the imperative. The indicative is the finished work of Christ, right? We don't confuse that. The indicative is, you know, theology. The imperative is duty, right? So we say theology and duty, all right? Or theology and ethics. Doctrines and duty. Doctrines and duties. Right? So you have the doctrines. Theology is what fuels your ethic. Your doctrines is, you know, it's what fuels your duties. Right? We understand your positional, your position in Christ, and the practical. Freedom and responsibility. In Christ and in the Lord. Those are the two wings of the airplane. We're not just going to preach about in Christ, and not under the Lord. Hello? How many of you know He says, if you call me Lord, you need to depart from iniquity? Hello? So there's an element of responsibility where we have to live consecrated life so that we become that vessel of honor. So we already did a lot of ministry, but if you're saying today,
Lord, make me a vessel of honor. I just want to surrender. I just want you to raise your hand where you are. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus for an outpouring of the oil over every hand that is raised. Use them for your glory. Release the oil. Release the power in the name of Jesus. Say, I believe it. I receive it. I believe it. Oh, make me a house of prayer. You provide the fire. I provide the sacrifice. Hey, make me a house of prayer. Make me a house of prayer. You provide the fire. I provide the sacrifice. I offer myself tonight. Use me in Anwet, New York. Use me in New York. Use this church. Father, start a new fire that is going to burn. That everyone in this place receives an impartation from you. I declare what the scripture says. Those who come to the east gate shall go to the west gate. Those who come to the north gate shall go to the south gate. Those who come to the south gate shall go to the north gate. In other words, you are not going out the same way you came in. And I declare tonight, in the name of Jesus, the release of fresh oil in your life. In the name of Jesus, you will dream prophetic dreams. You will see intelligent design for your life. I speak a blessing. I speak miracles, signs and wonders, and impartation. In the name of Jesus. Come on, Pastor, you can take it.